Okay, and sometimes we actually, treat prayer almost as something that we don't really need to access every day, but it's only whenever need comes along. It reminds me of a story of a man who claimed that he's a Christian, and one time he went with his friends out fishing. And as they went out fishing, they were in a small boat, and they headed out of the harbour, out of the heads there. And as they were down, packed to where they got all their baits and started fishing, all of a sudden, wind started to blow, and there was some clouds in the skies, and all of a sudden it started raining, and the boat was truly tossing to and fro, and they tried to start the engine, and the engine wouldn't start, and they were in a panic, and they thought, how are we going to get back? We'll drown out here. And some of them, they started to pray, and one of the guys said, you're a Christian. You said you're God will listen to you. Why don't you pray? And this Christian goes, Lord, it's been about 15 years since we've asked you something. But Lord, I promise you that if this time around you answer me, I promise that I won't bother you for another 15 years. You know, it's kind of funny about these things. But, you know, many times we treat prayer almost that way, when the Bible teaches us totally different. Amen. And this morning, I'd really like to look at the prayer of a godly, devout man who teaches us much about how we ought to live a life of prayer. So you come with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'd really like to read verses 21 through to 35. And for the honor of the Word of God, I'd love you to stand with me as we read this portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 21. And the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Amen. They called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast preparedest before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, indeed we want to thank you for the life of Simeon, for such a prayer that would actually teach us much concerning the subject of prayer. And I pray, dear Lord, that you speak to each and every one of our hearts. Father, as Christians, that you would just help us to dedicate ourselves for a life of prayer, a life that would truly be pleasing unto thee. And Lord, for anyone who is still here unsure about their eternal destiny, I plead with you, Lord, that they would just be able to come to thee repentant and cry from their heart, that prayer of the heart, a prayer of repentance that can save their souls. Father, I pray this morning that you be honored and glorified in our midst, for I ask these things in and through the name of our precious Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Certainly, prayer is not a spare tire in the boot that we actually access only when we need. When we read in the book of Acts, we see that prayer was daily in the life of the Christians. Every time you actually see any chapter or you open any page in the book of Acts, you will see that Christians were praying. Right from the very beginning, when the Lord Jesus Christ said to them to abide in that upper room until they be endowed with power from above, all the disciples, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, with all the women, the 120 that were enlisted in the early church, they were all together in one spirit, in one accord, praying unto the Lord. And God answered their prayers, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them and gave power to the church to go out with great power to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from there on, we see that that cycle that is repeated over and over in the book of Acts. And the cycle is, they started with prayer, and God gave power to the Christians to go out and boldly witness in the Word of God. And they were able to convince many through the power of the Holy Spirit to be saved. And many were saved. And as a result of the salvation of many, some people got mad. And they got persecution against the church. And the church, as a result of the persecution, went back to prayer. And then prayer gave more power and gave more salvation of souls and more boldness and more persecution and more prayer. And that cycle was over and over repeated in the book of Acts. And that ought to be the life of the church. Amen. Now, some prayers ought to be remembered in such a way that we could actually learn much from them. But some prayers may have been said in desperation. For example, when Elijah prayed that prayer in 1 Kings chapter 19, and he said, "It is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He was depressed. He was absolutely come to the end of himself. And we remember such a prayer and we say, well, you know, maybe sometimes we can cry out to God in such a prayer. But that's not the pattern of prayer that the Bible wants us to have in our lives. The pattern of prayer that God wants to have in our life is the same kind of prayer that this man, Simeon, has actually prayed. Now, first of all, before we learn about the prayer that he prayed, let's just see the man himself and how he was. Simeon's personal character was a character of godliness and piety. When we read of Simeon's character, we see that he was a just man. In verse 25, pardon me, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout." Just and devout. Now, I just really like to stop here for a minute and have a little meditation in three simple points about the character of Simeon. First of all, let's look at his name. Simeon means to hear. Hearing. You know, in Arabic, we say sma. And in Hebrew, it's the same thing, shma. The very first command in Hebrew is, "Shma ye Israel, the Lord our God is one God." Okay? Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And so, Simeon is a man who always learned to first listen to the Lord. He always learned to listen to God, and as a result of him listening to God, obeying God, he developed a character in his own life to where he knew that he ought to obey God in such a way where he can be changed. Pardon me. The Word of God changes our lives. Amen. When we hear God, we actually allow God's Word to be engrafted in our hearts. And as we obey the Word of God, God changes our lives. Amen. His purpose in each and every one of us as Christians who have come to know Him is to conform us to be according to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the will of God for each and every one of us as Christians. And as we allow the Word of God to work in our hearts, we would see that God can actually start to engraft His Word in us and be part of our lives. Not only ought we hear it, but we ought to understand it. We ought to memorize it. We ought to meditate on it. And then as we do all these things, it becomes a part of our lives. And it only becomes a part of our lives well engrafted when it actually goes from our ears down to my mind or down to my heart, and then it's translated and experienced down to the hands, that our hands would actually do the work of God. The feet will go in the path of the Lord, and then when I actually live the Word of God, it becomes part of my life. And when it becomes part of my life, my character change. And then God says about this man that he was a just, devout man. Now let me just say very first thing about being a just man. Now, a just man means that he is one who is righteous, one who, you know, is right before God, one who is right before others as well. And let me just say, when the Bible speaks about justification, or when the Bible speaks about having the righteousness that God would have in our hearts to be accepted before Him in heaven, He would say that each and every one of us need to come unto God and be justified His way and not my way. You see, many of us today are trying always to justify ourselves before others. There is something that in each and every one of us is a automatic mechanism that when you point something bad in me, I have that automatic mechanism goes up. And sometimes I lie, and sometimes I actually hide some truth and not just say the whole truth. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to justify myself before others. Hey, I'm trying to look good. I'm trying to just present myself in such a way where I'm not that bad. But hey, let me just say this morning, God knows each and everything about you and about me. And there is absolutely nothing that can be hidden away from Him. He knows the very intent of our hearts. And therefore, as we come before God, we cannot raise that defense mechanism and try to look good before Him. We cannot do anything to where we can say something and where we can actually say, well, we're not that bad, Lord. And even though sometimes we try. We try through religiosity. We try through religions, and we actually sometimes, do certain things as the churches or as, priests and men of God sometimes may say things. And sometimes we actually say, if I do this, maybe the Lord will just see me in a good picture. Let me just say this morning that the very best that we can do, God says that they are all nothing but as filthy rags. You know what a filthy rag is? You know, I don't know if you've ever been in the mechanic shop, but if you actually seen in the mechanic and how he works, he would have some rags around that he'll always wipe out that oil, wipe out that grease, and it's over and over again used over and over again. And when you look at that rag, it's just you can't even clean it. And God says, that's how we look before Him. You can't even clean it, man. And even if you clean it, and even if you use the most powerful detergents, it's still stained. And let me just say this morning, our hearts are desperately wicked. And before God, we cannot be justified. There is only one thing that can justify you and me today. And it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from every sin. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. And this morning, if you want to be justified, if you want to truly listen to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to make you a justified man, you need to come to Him by faith. And this morning, I'd like to say to each and everyone here who is still unsure about their eternal destiny, you don't know what will happen to you if you die today or if Jesus Christ returns today. Let me just say, God says to you, It is only by faith that he can be pleased and you can be justified. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. And the Bible declares very clearly in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know what that means? That means now we are at enmity with God. That means we are separated from God. And therefore, all of our works, all of our religiosity, all of the things that we try to do in order to look good before God will just absolutely not do it. Cannot justify us. Cannot declare us righteous. Saul of Tarsus was a man who tried to live according to what he's been taught in his own religion, the Jewish religion. He thought that he was doing God a favor by persecuting these Christians. But when he finally found the true way, he said that I will be found in him, not within my own righteousness that is of the law, but of the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And Jesus Christ said to each and every one of us, as he spoke to the Pharisees, as he spoke to his disciples, as he spoke to the people, he said, unless you have, be more righteous than the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you cannot be more righteous than those guys who lived to the letter of the law, except by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, there is no name given under heaven amongst men whereby we can be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. Simeon was a just man, not only just before God, because he trusted and had faith and put his confidence in the Word of God. He listened to the Word of God and he had confidence in the Word of God and he waited on the promise of God. He was waiting for the promise that God has given. And therefore, he knew how to truly live. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, as we talk about prayer this morning, let me say, if you want your prayers to be powerful, if you want your prayers to truly work and bear some fruit, you cannot have sin in your life and continue to pray and expect God to answer. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not listen unto me. The Bible says that the prayer of an unrighteous man or the prayer of the sinner is an abomination unto the Lord. You know, if God has ever answered your prayer before you be saved, it's because of his mercy upon your life. It's because he's trying to bring you closer to him. And it's so that he would actually show you that he is able to do much more than you ever think or ask for, according to the power that works in us. And that is the power of his Holy Spirit. And this morning, if you truly want your prayer to be effectual, to be effective, to truly be answered by God, then you really need to hide under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be justified through his righteousness. This man was not only just, but he also was a devout man. This is not a word that we actually use much in our English language today, but, you know, to be devoted means to be consecrated. To be devoted means to be totally sold out. Totally sold out. And, you know, God is looking for people who would just be absolutely sold out for him. That they would be truly pleasing to him in not the way that they only listen, but the way they also obey. The way that they only trust him and obey him. God would bless the life of a person like that, because that would be a person who would have constant fellowship with God, on speaking terms with the Lord God all the time, in submission to him. This is the condition of prevailing prayer. Not only was he just and devout, but he also was, as the Bible tells us in verses 26 and 27, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice what verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. This guy had communication with the Holy Ghost. This guy had allowed the Spirit of God to work and control in his life. Notice verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. You know, our life ought to be a Spirit-filled life. The Bible tells us to pray in the Spirit. Amen? Now, let me just say, those that actually want you to pray in the Spirit today, many times they will say to you that you need to speak in a language not known to you or speak in tongues as such. This is absolutely not right biblically. The Bible speaks about praying in the Spirit and in Jesus' name. You know, let me just illustrate it or give it a little analogy by it in this way. When we pray in Jesus' name or when we pray in the Spirit, it means that we pray according to the will of Jesus and in the will of the Spirit. Amen. Let's illustrate it this way. Let's say, for example, I teach at Sydney Bible Baptist College, and Pastor Mario Schiavone, was going to be traveling. Pastor Mario is the pastor of the Metropolitan Baptist Church that overlooks and runs the Bible College. And let's say he's going to be traveling somewhere, and on graduation day, he said, Pastor Nabil, I'd really like you to speak on my behalf on the graduation day, and I prepared a little speech that I would like you to give, and here it is. I'd like you to give that in my name on the graduation day. And so I put that paper in my pocket, and I just go around. And then graduation day come around, and I don't remember which jacket I put it in, and I go looking for it, and I don't find it. And then I go and write my own speech, and then on graduation day I say, I speak in the name of Pastor Mario, who is absent today and he's traveling, but he wanted me to relay this message to you, and then I actually speak my own message. Would I actually be speaking in his name? No. Why? Because I'm actually, coming up with my own message. I devised my own words, and I did not say what he wanted said. In the same way, when we come to pray, you see, just saying in the name of Jesus at the end of our prayer doesn't mean all of a sudden it's going to make everything according to God's will. See, I need to come in the fullness of the Spirit. In other words, I need to submit myself to the will of God and know the will of God and ask the will of God so that God would actually answer the prayer in such a way that will move heaven and earth to see the prayers of his children being answered. It is the will of God for all men to be saved. And so if you and I start to pray the will of God for my cousin or your cousin or my friend and your friend, God is going to answer that prayer. And if we truly pray by faith, the prayer of the righteous, effectual prayer, the prayer of the righteous man is effectual in its power. And today, I'd really like to say to you, that we need to seek to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. We need to really understand God's will. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. Not means to be poured. The Spirit is not poured in such a way where we fill a cup. We say he's filled with rage. That means he's controlled with rage. Or he would say he's filled with joy. That means joy is really controlling him. And so it is when he is filled with the Spirit is controlling each and every one of us. It is a command for you and me to be filled in the Spirit. The Bible says, be ye not drink and wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled in the Holy Spirit. And the command is a command where it's repetitious. In other words, not be filled only once, but continually seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as we continue to do that, the Bible teaches us to continue in prayer without ceasing. Amen. The Bible tells us in the words of Jesus Christ that men ought to pray always and not to faint. Amen. So how do we do that? That's when we practice the presence of God in our lives. That's when you and I can actually live daily, worshiping God every moment of our lives. Not just pray, in the morning or at night. Not just pray, three times a day or even five times a day. But continually pray with God. Do you know that you can actually worship God not only when you come to church? You can worship God every moment of your life. You can worship God while you're teaching your class. You can worship God while you're washing the dishes. You can worship God while you're actually doing your work in the kitchen or in the workshop or anywhere that you're actually doing something. If you actually say, Lord, I want to do this job for you. And I wanted to do it not just so to please my boss or not just so that I can actually get my salary, but I want to do it in such a way to where it actually returns glory to you. Lord, you give me the skill. Lord, you give me the strength. Lord, it is you that worketh in me both to will and to do your perfect pleasure. And I want to do your will. And if every moment you want to do God's will to glorify him, you are worshiping him. You're not only worshiping God when you're praying in church or when you're preaching or you're teaching or you're singing. You're praying to God and you're actually worshiping him every moment of your life if you live practicing the presence of God. That's how we get filled with the Spirit of God. That's where we literally let the Holy Spirit continually speak to us. But not only this. This man, and I don't want to talk about the man as much as I want to talk about his prayer, so let me just finish off by saying he was not only just, he was not only devout, he was not only filled with the Spirit, but he was also awaiting the coming of the Savior. He was anticipating. You see, faith will always create an anticipation in our lives. Hope that is sure that it's going to happen soon. The blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in his case, it was for the first coming. But in our case, it's the second coming. Amen. And this man was absolutely anticipating the coming of the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it was. And you and I should be doing the same in relation to the Lord's Savior, second coming. Simeon knew that the Lord would come because it had been revealed to him. How? Through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. And you and I today can, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, have the same kind of anticipation. We know that he's coming again. We know because the Word of God revealed it unto us. We know and see around us, the Holy Spirit is showing us that it is more. The time is closer and shorter than it's ever been before. And we know that our salvation, that is from not only from the power of sin and the penalty of sin, but salvation from the very presence of sin is getting nearer every day. And the Bible is very sure, and we can actually trust the Word of God and therefore have that anticipation. On that basis, Simeon came to pray. And let's look at his prayer together. As he prayed, the very first thing that he did is that he commenced with worshiping God. He commenced with blessing God. Notice with me verses 27 and 28. The Bible says, when he came to there and the Holy Spirit had actually revealed that unto him, that he should not die without seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms, and notice the words, and blessed God. The very first thing that he did is he blessed God. You know, often sometimes we actually come before the Lord and don't know how to start our prayers. I don't know if you've ever recorded your prayer and listened to it. Man, I just sometimes wish I prayed something different. I know of a man of God who used to pray beautifully. And his name was Barnabas. And Barnabas used to pray such a beautiful prayer that many of the Christians always loved to hear him pray. And one time, as they went into a prayer meeting, they actually put a recording machine, and they slid it under the sofa there, and it all met there together. And when Barnabas started to pray, they pressed the button, and they recorded his prayer. And after the meeting, they actually wanted him to listen to his prayer. And he goes, "What? You recorded my prayer? Man, I confess my sins and God forgives them and erase them and you record them." So I don't suggest you go recording your prayer. But sometimes, you know, it ought to just examine ourselves as to how we pray. Do you know that most of our prayers are so selfish? Yeah. Lord, give me. Lord, bless me. Lord, protect me. Lord, you know, me. Isn't that how we many times just pray? You know, instead of coming to the Lord sometimes and say, Lord, give me, give me, give me. Sometimes we need to the Lord and just say, I need to really enter the Lord's presence with thanksgiving in my heart, Amen. With adoration to Him Amen. On my lips, on my tongue. I need to bless Him. I need to truly come into the presence of God sometimes just to relish in His love and say, Lord, I just want to thank You. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me such a great salvation, so full and free. Lord, I just want to thank You. And sometimes all we really need to do is just get into the presence of God and just thank Him, adore Him, and just learn how to truly, you know, draw nigh to Him. And the Bible tells us to draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto us. When Moses came into the presence of the Lord, as he moved over to see that burning bush that was not consumed, God said, hang on, stop, Moses, take off your shoes off your feet. For the place that you're standing on is holy ground. And you and I need to realize that when we come into the presence of God to pray, we're entering holy ground. We really need to learn how to adore and bless and thank God before we come to just ask what we want from Him. Sometimes I wonder, who's the Lord and who's the slave or who's the servant? Because all we do is we seem to the Lord, you know, Lord, I want You to do this and I want You to do that. You know, sometimes I just say, you know, I speak as if He's the slave and I'm the master. And that's not the right way to pray. I need to submit myself to Him. I need to surrender myself to Him. I need to truly see the greatness of my God and how finite and how limited I am, how small I am. And when I realize that, I'll start to pray properly. I'll start to first bless God. And not only to bless Him, but I want you to see that also he acknowledged God's sovereignty. He acknowledged that God is absolutely in control of everything. Notice verse 29 with me. He said, Lord, now lettest Thou Thy servant depart in peace according to Thy word. He said, Lord, You're the one that kept me alive, and You're the one that can take my life away. Lord, You're the one in control of everything. And I want You to know, when I come into Your presence, Lord, I want to acknowledge that You're the one that is in absolutely control of everything, and You're the one that holds everything in the power of Thy hand. He holds the whole hand, the world. He holds the whole world in His hands. Amen? You know, He holds the moons and the stars and all the planets in their orbits according to His command. You know, one of the things that God commended so much, the great faith of that centurion, when he came asking the Lord to heal his young lad, you know, when the Lord actually finally saw the faith of that centurion, he said to the people around them, he said, verily I say unto you, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. Why? Because when the centurion came to him, all the people around the Lord Jesus Christ, they were saying to him, Lord, you really need to do whatever this man is going to ask you. Because, Lord, this man has been really good. This man has actually built us a synagogue. This man has been really good to the Jews. This man has done so many good things for us. Lord, please, whatever he asks you, just do it for him, okay? And you know what that man said? Lord, I'm not worthy that you come to my house. For I'm a man under authority. And I'm a man of authority. I say to that man, go, and he goeth. And I say that to that man, come, and he cometh. And I say to that man, do this, and he doeth it. Lord, just say a word. Lord, I realize that you're the man that in total control, you're the person who's an absolute sovereign over the whole universe. Lord, just say a word. That's my faith. If you, Lord, say a word, just as I say something and all these people do what I say, Lord, when you say a word, it will happen. He created the world into being by saying, let it be. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be animals that will actually come out from all the places of the water, and there were. He said it and created it all by the power of his word. And today, let me just say, he is the God who is still sovereign, and we ought to truly acknowledge his sovereignty and acknowledge that he is in control, and we ought to submit to his greatness and authority as we come in praise. And as we come in prayer, we need to recognize that God is working. And he's still working today. He's working through his spirit and doing great and wonderful miracles in the lives of people. You're actually seeing a miracle that's in front of you. I would honestly say, without God's grace, I would absolutely be dead a long time ago. And I would be on my way to hell, and I would actually be burning in hell forevermore. But it's God's grace. Not only that delivered me from the war in Lebanon, but eventually delivered me from my sins. And not only delivered me from my sins, but eventually also delivered me from many a trial and kept me today. And I say, I am what I am only by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I stand. And by the grace of God, I still acknowledge his working in the lives of many people. And I know his word will work in our hearts today. Let me say, today, I don't believe your presence here is just a coincidence. God has brought you here today. And he wants to teach you how to pray. But before you can have your prayers truly answered, you need to first experience his justification through the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're still unsaved, I plead with you that there is nothing that can save you other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still working in your heart. And the truth is, he's given you so many opportunities. You've received a tract here and there. You've heard the testimony of your friend here and there. You've had some relatives come and spoke to you about the Lord. You picked up the Bible one day and spoke to you, and God spoke to you through his word. You've heard a message from Brother Charlie, from Pastor here. Or you probably heard a message over in a radio or maybe on the internet, and God spoke to your heart and you dismissed it. And you're still dismissing it. And God says to you, today is a day of salvation. I'm still working in your life, and I will never give up on you. Love never faileth. Let me just say, God has given you a free will, and you need to exercise it. You need to say to God, I will, and I will surrender to you. When you repent and surrender to God, God will do a great work in your life. You see, believing is not just, accepting something mentally. It's not just experiencing something emotionally. Yeah. Believing is trusting. When you trust somebody, when you have confidence in someone, you will do for him whatever he asks. Amen. There will be an established relationship based on love. We love him because he first loved us. And he loved us so much that he gave the most precious thing he has, his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on Calvary's cross for you and for me. And today his spirit is still working. Simeon acknowledged God's work, and he's still working today. And not only that, but he also submitted in his prayer, he submitted for his working in his life. Notice verse 29 what he says. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You know, the submission was according to the sure promise of his word. Can I just say to you today, you can never have true confidence, you can never have true faith in God without his word. See, many people today believe on the basis of an experience of a miracle or a story that they hear here or there. Can I just say, all of these things God may use in your life to bring you closer, but at the end, if you're ever going to truly believe, you have to believe according to God's word. Amen. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We live our lives by the word of God. We heard in the beautiful song that the Murkirtz song sang, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the first step to become just. Amen? But what's after that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out from the mouth of God. Without the word of God, we're actually finished. And let me just say, we cannot have true faith without the word of God. And this blessed book, the King James Version, is a Bible that we believe on, and God has protected us over the ages. Now, people try to destroy it. People try to absolutely burn it. And let me say, God's word stands like a rock undaunted. And it still stands today. Without the word of God, we will be absolutely finished. And as he trusted the word of God, God rewarded his faith. According to his word, many of the saints lived. Lord, you promised I should not depart until I've seen the Savior. Now I have seen him. Now, Lord, let me go, as your promise is. This is the way to pray, in faith and with assurance. In Genesis chapter 21, the Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. God will always honor his word. God will always keep his promises. Genesis 50, 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and may God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, out into the land which he had swore to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And he said to them, I want you that when you go out, this is his full anticipation. He said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Take him with you to the promised land. Man, the man is dying. What do you want? He said, I continue to hope in God according to his word. You're not going to stay in Egypt. God said you will be delivered. Yes, you will be enslaved. You may be living free and absolutely great times now because I have been the second on the throne of Egypt. I have blessed you with many things, but you're going to be enslaved. And the Bible says, another Pharaoh rose that knew not Joseph. And they were enslaved. And they were in Egypt for 400 years. But when the time comes, when the time came, according to the promise of God, and according to the words that Jacob spoke, according to words of the word of God, there the Bible says in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, there failed not aught to any good thing which God hath spoken unto the house of Israel, all come to pass. All come to pass. What a great promise. Amen. Nothing failed from all the words that God had spoken. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the profession, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let's hold to the word of God without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. He will always keep his word. Numbers verse 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is a son, pardon me. Neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath he said and shall not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall not make it good? And the answer of God of that, of course not. Amen. God will always keep his word. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24 and 35, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God is always there to keep his word. And according to his word, he prayed. Now, when you claim God's promises in your prayer, God will definitely answer your prayer. And as we see, God gave Simeon an absolute beautiful answer to his prayer. It explains why he was ready to die. He was ready to leave. He was ready to go home. You know, sometimes we actually pray a lot of things, and, you know, we often not pray, you know, or afraid to pray that, you know, it's time to die. Can I just say, I've seen the finish of, or the end of life of many people. Some were Christians and some were not Christians. And I'll tell you the honest truth. Those Christians that walked with the Lord, they were ready to go home. It never ceases to amaze me how we ought to be willing to accept the answer of God. Even if it means death, even if it means death. Because death is not the end. Death is just a door that we pass through to the rest of our lives with the Lord forever.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting?
Yes, sir.
O grave, where is thy power? Hey, when we learn how to trust God, we only declare the glory of the Lord and the true nature of salvation that He gave. That salvation is not a creed, is not a system, is not in the church. It's not in a priest or a man or a pastor or anything like that. But salvation is of the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we could be saved. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And Jesus came to the place where he looked up and saw, and he said unto Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham." Today, I'd like to say to you, if you're a child of God, you ought to praise God for his salvation. If you're still unsure, let me just say, you need to come and humbly be repentant of your past life, not just of your sins, but the way that you lived your life trusting other things, and say, "Lord, I want to let it go. I want to forsake it. I want to no longer trust it. And today I want to put my trust in Christ and Jesus Christ alone."
Amen.
In his full work on the cross, in his absolute person as God who have come in the flesh. And as you do that, then he will save you. He will come into your heart. He will cleanse your heart. He will indwell you and give you power to live for his glory and honor. This prayer not only does it give a true victory at the end, but it shows us a man who finally lived with the discernment of the will of God. With the discernment of the will of God. Do you want true wisdom in your life? Do you know the only way it can come is through prayer and the Word of God? God can give you discernment. You know what discernment is? Is being able to know what's going to happen before it's going to happen. Or being able to see the invisible. Being able to see some things that this naked eye cannot see. And it can only happen by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, as you have fellowship with God in prayer. You know, often we say, sometimes say, prayer changes things. And it does. But you know what we need to realize? Sometimes we're always looking at things being changed around us. Many times I discovered that God changed things in me.
Amen.
When we learn how to pray, God will keep his promise. And the promise is, the prayer of a righteous man, the effectual prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. It says about Elijah that he was a man like passion and like passion like us. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again and it rained. Would we, like Elisha said, Where is the God of Elijah? Would we learn how to pray and say, where's the God of Simeon? God is still the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to learn how to pray. May the Lord help us, like the disciples, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say to him, Lord, teach us how to pray.